Well, this evening is our family growth night, where we, as a family, talk about what we can do to grow closer to God, particularly about practical things. As I think just about everybody here knows, the way we did this was at the beginning of the year, we all put a bunch of ideas into a box of things we each individually wanted to work more on, the areas we wanted to grow in. And so then our family growth nights, I get something out of the box and I figure out how we're going to do a lesson on that. So tonight, I want to talk about what I thought was by far the most requested thing in that box. And that was where we were all talking about how we want to study God's Word more in different ways. Some people would talk about how I want to make sure that I study the Bible every day. Some people just said, I want to study the Word more. Some people said, I want to think about God's Word more. Different kinds of things about this emphasis of, I want to be in the Bible more. This year I want to try to do that more than I did last year. That's great. That shows that we all have that appetite. We understand, like Jesus talked about, or as the book of Deuteronomy also talks about, how man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This concept is that's our spiritual nourishment. We need to be in the book where we're learning and growing. But I think all of us know sometimes it's hard. How many times have you had the ambitious plan that this year I'm going to read through the whole Bible, or this year I'm going to read through the New Testament, or over the next few months I'm going to make sure I read the Bible once a week or once every day or whatever it is, and get just a little ways into that and it doesn't work out. You get distracted and things don't happen. That's tough. I think probably just about every one of us have been there. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about how to get more out of Bible reading. But let's start by asking the question, what is it, when we fail at that Bible plan, what is it that causes us to fail? When we have those ambitious goals and a couple months into it, it doesn't work out. Why is it that that happens? Yes?
But I would want to be the head of God.
Okay. So my wants get in the way. Okay.
It kind of becomes just something you're doing, like kind of checking a box, you know, sometimes.
That's a really good one. Yes, because we're going to be talking about that. Yes.
Monotonous might go kind of like that.
Yes. Monotonous. That, okay, you can make up some new spelling for that one.
Not a realistic schedule.
Okay, yes, not realistic. That's a good point, where I feel like I'm going to read for an hour and a half every single day, and that's not going to happen, whatever that goal might be. Yeah. Let's see. Joe, and then...
We don't schedule it. I mean...
Okay, yes. Yeah, that's a good one, because where I say I'm going to do all this, but I don't have it in, there's no slot. It's not happening in the morning, it's not happening in the evening. Yeah, that's a good point. Glenn?
We tend to read the Bible rather than study it.
Okay, read instead of study. We're going to talk about that some tonight, too.
Kind of going along with that, it's like when you're doing a short daily reading, it's like you're looking at a really small section, and sometimes it gets... You have a problem integrating your understanding of that, your understanding of the whole.
Yes.
Along with that, too, a lot of the plans that there are kind of arbitrary chunks. Yeah. Like, they're just like, okay, stop here in the middle of a thought, and then revisit it.
Yes. How are we that? Okay. All right, any other ones?
We used to have a schedule here, I read the Bible through in a year, but sometimes when I was reading it, I'd get done, and I would go, my mind would wander.
Yeah,
and I would just read, then I'd have to read it again.
Yes. Oh, I know exactly how that is. Okay, all right, that's a bunch of things. All right, so that starts to help us see the problem. One of the things I think that summarizes a lot of this and some of the stuff I was thinking about is you get to a point where you're doing that and you just realize, I'm not really enjoying this. Where you're doing it because you know you need to do it, you know it's good for you, but when I started Genesis, I get all the way to Leviticus, and it's not fun anymore. And that's when it's really hard to keep pushing. And I think of it like this. Think of it, let's clear some space. Some, you think of the return on investment. You think of, if I'm going to put all of this time into it, which is going to take a lot of time, if I'm going to be doing a lot of Bible study, that's going to be a major time thing if I'm planning to do it daily or whatever the schedule is. Is the time going to lead to some benefit? And that's a question where we may not think of it in those terms, but that may be the reason why I start to quit, because after a while, you know, there's just something that came up that just feels a lot more important right now. And I know this is important, but, you know, this other thing just came up, and that's... And I think it comes down to sometimes thinking of it in this sense. Now, to make this work out, I've got to make sure that I'm actually getting some benefit out of it. And that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight, is that when we study God's Word, are we actually learning and growing from it? Because there's a lot of times where, all right, I'm going to do 3 chapters today. I don't have much time, you know, it's late at night, but I've got to get through these 3 chapters. All right, I got through 3 chapters. Okay. Well, there wasn't any benefit there, probably. I got through the 3 chapters. I accomplished the goal, but I didn't receive the kind of benefit from it that I needed to receive. That's the problem. So we're going to talk about some solutions to that tonight. But I think 2 things. One is, what do I see as a benefit? That I have to actually value spiritual things for me to value the benefit. That one of the different things I might learn from God's Word, I may learn some more about God. I may get to know Him better. I may learn about some things I need to be doing in my life, those kinds of things. If I don't really value those things, then I read it, I spend an hour on it, and then don't feel that fulfilled, because that I don't care about those kinds of things. I'm not that spiritually minded. So one of the things we're going to look at is actually changing my values to where I see the benefit. But the other thing is changing my study habit so that I actually receive that benefit. Because there's a lot of ways I can read the Bible where I never get that spiritual value. I'm checking off every day, like we talked about the checking off thing, but I never actually receive the benefit. So those are some of the challenges. What about when you read the Bible, what are some things that you really enjoy about reading the Bible?
I value temptations aren't as strong anymore.
That's a good one.
And when I stop reading the Bible, and then they become strong.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective. Yeah, one of the things where you read the Bible and you said, I enjoyed that today. That was nice.
You learned something new.
Okay, learned something new.
The historic aspect of it.
Okay.
So some of the, especially like Old Testament, some of the stories. I mean, going along with what Jay said, you know.
Wait, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that about this character. I didn't know that this happened. No.
Yes, and the way I summarize both of these is discovery. To me, that's a really big one. When you read the Bible and you discover something new, that's exciting. When you discover, oh, I never thought about God that way. I never would have thought about that solution to temptation, and I don't know if I could see it there before. Or even just a connection that, wow, I cannot believe the book of Matthew actually references the book of Leviticus like that, and it makes this incredible connection like that. Okay, yes?
I
also just the like humanization and contextualization that the story kind of gives and the things you talk about all the time. Like, you can talk about these things, but then you can actually read about these real people, like, actually going through it and experiencing things in this really relatable kind of way, and it makes it a lot more, like, concrete.
Yes, that's good. Relatable. Where sometimes you read something and you feel like, well, that was so long ago, I don't know how it applies to me. But when you can learn how to make those applications, where you can read it and say, yeah, that was me today. That's really, really helpful. Yes?
You sometimes wonder after reading a particularly vivid story why Hollywood hasn't made a movie about it.
Yes.
It has all the drama and tragedy that you would find in a cookbook or a good movie.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. Let me just write a good book. I don't know how else to say that. There's certain things that just the Bible's written so well that there's certain sections you read it. It's just exciting and fun.
You know, a lot of it, I find a lot of humor. The Bible just is a lot of stuff you can kind of laugh at in the Bible. Like a lot of crazy stories that are
just, there's certainly is humor. Yeah, definitely. Aaron.
Find encouragement. That's sometimes I feel like am I crazy about my beliefs or faith? Or reread something and say, oh, it's very straightforward.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they encourage me in a whole lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, seeing God's promises and seeing the way He described it with strengthening your belief. There's a lot of different ways that God's Word encourages us. Okay, so lots of things there. Let's turn to the Bible for a second here on the PowerPoint. And our scripture reading was from Psalm 119, which is the largest psalm in the Bible, and it's a psalm all about the Bible. It's a psalm all about this man's love for God's Word, or this author, whoever it is, his love for God's Word. And it's interesting that the largest single section of the Bible, if we could call it that, although man made those divisions, not God, but it is about the love for the book itself. And so here you have this guy who obviously just loves God's Word, just thinks about it all the time. And I want to hit a few things, try to get in his mind, why does this guy love God's Word so much? So I'm going to put a few scriptures on the screen here, just because the psalm is so long, I thought it would be awkward to jump around. Verse 15, I will delight in your statutes, I will not forget your word. I will delight in them. So here's a guy who just, he loved it. All right, so if he has that kind of attitude, why? What kind of character would have that kind of attitude? Another way he says it is, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. He values it. This is something that's very important to his life. All right, so the kind of character, I grabbed just a few verses that I think illustrate the kind of character he had, the things that he thought were important in order to see God's Word as so valuable. One of them is this man seemed to have an appreciation for God. Here's a verse in there that says, The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. He said, I look around the earth and I see how much you love us. Now teach me more about your word. This is the concept that he appreciates God. Now that's where we talk about the value in spiritual things. Where if I really have an appreciation for God, then I can start to be like the psalmist and say, so God, teach me some more. Tell me some more things, God, because I appreciate him so much. I have that relationship with him. Another one, a desire for purity. He says, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. He wants to be more holy. He wants to live for God. And so part of that is, God, here, let me just read it some more so I can find out how I can live a better life. That's one of his goals. Another one, I think here's the last one, is the comfort that he gets from it. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life. When he reads it, he gets comfort. He reads those promises, and the affliction, the challenges he's going through in this life, it's comforting to him. So those are just a few things, some perspectives on valuing these spiritual things, some of the kinds of values that I need to have. once I'm really cultivating these values, and maybe I'll cultivate these values by reading God's Word, maybe that's how this will happen, but once I'm really cultivating these values, then I can work on my study habits to achieve that. Or this is what I want. I want to be more pure. I want to be to get comfort from God's Word. I want to know God better. All these kinds of things. All right, now how do I develop a study habit that's actually going to get me to that spot? Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. One of the things I think challenge we run into is understanding I read God's Word and I don't know what I just read. It's just really confusing. And when that happens, it's harder to get to that benefit section because I don't know what I just read. Couple solutions to that, and you can give me your ideas. One is check the Bible translation you're reading. If I'm reading a translation where I really can't understand much of any section of the Bible, I need to get a different Bible translation. And we can talk a lot about that. Maybe we'll talk about it in another one of the sections where you kind of have to balance it. There's some Bible translations that are really easy to read, but they paraphrase the text pretty far from the original language. There's some that are very difficult to read, but they're very accurate. And so what you kind of have to do is, if you're reading just sit down and read for an hour, sometimes you can go push more towards the one that's just a little bit easier to read just to help you get through it and help you just get the basic understanding. If you're trying to do some in-depth study, maybe pull back towards one of the translations that's much more literal, where you can go to each word and you know that what the word you're seeing here is actually the word that Moses said. And be able to, because sometimes the translation you have is going to make a difference. Another thing about understanding is maybe moving to a different section of the Bible. If I'm really struggling with this book, I shouldn't let that keep me from reading the Bible. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to have to read all this, what if for now I move to something that's a little easier that I can handle a little better? That we need to be reading the whole Bible. We really need to be familiar with the whole Bible. But if it's keeping me from studying like I should, and I feel that, and that's what's more making me quit on my schedule, maybe move to something that I can understand better, that I need to get something from. So the understanding is one. Any thoughts on that?
Yes. You know, when I was going to college and all, I would always take a class that was always I needed at the time, and it made it so much more interesting and thoughtful in that regard. And I think also when we're reading the Bible, when we have challenges in our life, look to the areas within the Bible that will help us and that will help us understand. Kind of like what you said, you know, just don't get stuck in Leviticus or Judges. You know, take a look in the New Testament or something more in the Old Testament that may help you as well.
I like that. You're trying to take something out that you know is going to be particularly applicable to you right then. Yeah. It needs, and like,
if you're stuck somewhere you don't understand it, just give yourself a break. Just read it. It'll get it in your head. And then maybe later, sometime later, you can go back and read it, but because you've been through it once, it will make more sense the second time.
I like
so
that. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah.
I was just thinking of more in context when you're reading something that it doesn't make sense, maybe because we don't know where it fits in the big picture. You got that big picture in your mind all the time. Some of this stuff is tedious and kind of weird. You know, Leviticus and all these laws, but you realize those little laws are there for a reason. Put it into context and might help you get through it, so try to figure out every little detail.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. That's a good one. Yeah, we're not going to be talking a lot about context this time, but I'm hoping next month we're going to be looking. I want to do one where we talk about big picture type of studying. I think that's really helpful. Damn.
I find
it.
The verse and there's words in it. It's not a dictionary. I look up the word or see the meaning of that word. And words that I can understand. Oh,
yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah, that is helpful. Joe?
If you read things over and over and over again, your spiritual level is different each time you read it. So something that didn't make sense to you first time or second time you read it, maybe the third or fourth time, it will make more sense.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yes. Alright, Jed?
On the topic of context, I think it's good to have a general context, and it's also good to have a personal context of it. What in the world does this mean to me? And keep asking that question. Like, how can I make numbers matter to me?
Yeah.
What can I possibly glean from this? Don't demand that of what of your reading, and you'll eventually squeeze something out of what you're getting.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I think also understanding what helps me a lot is getting into a discussion with somebody else with that to help understand it. And even if you think you understand it, still get in a discussion, you know, maybe get a deeper understanding as well as helping others with it. It does make it more interesting. We were going through several of the Old Testaments in Panero. I would have never went through them except we got there as a group and went through them and worked through them. It was really enjoyable. I would have never understood it by myself.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Talking to other people about it, studying it together. Yeah, that's definitely the way God designed it for us to do that. Yeah. Okay, the other thing, really where I want to spend the rest of this period on, is talking about meditation. This concept of just stopping and thinking about the text. Here's the reason. I think a lot of times we just move too quickly. Where I have my starting line, and I've got finish line, and I'm going to get, there's the goal. And then the goal is not the benefit. The goal is, got to get the finish line. And a lot of times I've only got a 30-minute chunk in my day right now. And I know to keep up with my plan, I've got to get the finish line in that 30-minute chunk. And when I do it, good. I was successful today. All right, let's wait for the next day. We'll try this again. That's not going to get me the benefit. So instead, the goal needs to be to learn something. And a lot of times, we can accomplish that goal by slowing it down and just taking some time to think about it. Particularly when you're reading something, it's just so easy to kind of gloss over and to glaze over and you aren't really seeing the stuff anymore. But slow down enough where we can really think about what's going on here, what are these words saying, and all that. Stopping and meditating on it. Now, one of them is when we're just reading, just slowing it down. This evening, I want to take it a step further and even talk about that thing where you do where you read the text and then you just stop and you say, all right, I'm just going to take 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it is just to think about that, those last two verses I just read, and just ponder them for a little bit. Then you can really start to think of things you hadn't thought of before. All right, were there a couple hands here? Jed and Mike.
I was just going to say that it's kind of like anything. If it becomes goal-oriented, like eating food, sometimes I don't register what I'm eating. Because it's just a thing that I'm doing to get to another thing that I'm doing. Or when I'm reading a book or when I'm trying to go to sleep, I'm always thinking about the next thing. Mm-hmm. Living in that moment with just basic things like that can be profound. Let alone taking just a part of the Bible and not, you know, just running toward some kind of finish line, like you said, but really just sitting there with something.
Yeah.
Being still with it can reveal a lot more about it if you're not trying to jam it into some kind of agenda or goal.
Yes.
Here I am, here's the word, let's see what happens.
Like sometimes you're trying to get through a few chapters or whatever it may be, or a time, you run over two or three incredibly profound things, you just kind of like read through. There was a book that we were reading, and the guy would stop every once in a while because it would be some ridiculous point, and like, you've got to be kidding. And he would just have the three words, pause, ponder, and profit.
Yeah, that's good. With this meditation thing, I think this is sometimes misunderstood what we mean when we talk about meditation. As you can see, it's talked about in the Bible. The Bible talks about meditation. But I think sometimes when we use that word meditation, we go to, The context we usually have for that, like the Buddhist man who's sitting there in silence, meditating on, just meditating. There's a difference between that new energy kind of meditation versus what you see in the scriptures. It seems like when you talk to people about this new age kind of meditation, it's much more about emptying my mind, that getting everything out, that they're trying to arrive at this perfect level of nothing. Whereas that's not at all what it is when you read the Bible. In particular, you see it in this verse, you see it in a lot of verses that use this concept of meditation. I'll meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. So it's not about, here's my brain, and I'm going to try to get all the things out of it. It's about, here's my brain, and I'm going to try to get God's word into it. It's much more the meditation, the point is to bring God's word closer to my mind, to where that's what I'm focused on completely, is God's, what God has to say to me. That's, yes?
This sort of goes along with meditation. After I read, I would pray, and I think about what did I learn about maybe God's character that I'm going to thank him for, a promise that he's made that I can dwell on, or the way he handled something. You know, I just try to think of, from that scripture that I just read, what can I thank him for, praise him for, ask for, and
to pray. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good way to do Bible study.
When I'm studying the book of Genesis, I was amazed on how much information is crowded in a very short book. And that told me that God is very purposeful in deciding what to put in the, in every verse is important to God. And I think if every verse is important to God, it should be every verse is important to us. And the meditation, I think, comes to what is God, why is this in the Bible? How is this pointing to the bigger picture? And what is God trying to tell me by this? You know, even in the book of Leviticus, you got to ask yourself, what is God trying to tell me by giving me the numbers and
yes. Yeah. Now, some cautions about this. There's, when you stop and start thinking about it, I have to be careful that I'm thinking about God's word and that I have to change the subject. There's a lot of times where I jump to the application and miss what the original actual text was trying to say to me. There's this concept that we talk about in Bible study where we first learn what it was to the in the original context.
Go. Drop your little thing down there. Don't make that noise.
Thank you.
Scratch at the top. You're being so proud of that.
There we go. All right. Look at the original, what the original, the message to the original readers, and spend some time on that first, and then jump to me. Because there's a temptation, especially when it comes to meditation, that I just want to think about me, 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 me. And I think about it like if God's having a conversation with you. Have you ever had a conversation with someone who you start talking to them about something, and they always jump the conversation off to themselves? Or you're trying to talk to them about something, and they say, oh yeah, well that's like me, and and you're like, this person is incredibly selfish, and all they ever talk about themselves. And I wonder if that's how it is when we're reading God's Word sometimes. God's trying to talk to us about something, but we just want to talk about us. And when we do that, we miss what God's actually saying sometimes. So meditation has to start here with what is the original meaning of it. The other thing is, when you're meditating on one single passage, not losing the context, where I've got this one passage here in the Bible, and I kind of build this big mountain on top of this one passage, thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about that, and I lose the context of all the other passages in the rest of the Bible. The meditation needs to be this idea of soaking up everything that comes before and after and seeing where it fits in here, and seeing it in the context of God's whole word, that needs to be the context of meditation. All right, so lots of stuff about meditation. What I want to do here at the end is just practice that with a couple verses, really just to kind of help us think about observation skills of looking at a text and just thinking about it and just really flying past it. All right, first one, Isaiah 53:6. What we're going to do is we're going to read it three times really slowly, and then we're going to stop, and we're just going to all think about it for a little bit. And then let's just talk and just do a few little observations about it. Okay, Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All right, let's read it again. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All right, let's take a minute to think about that, and then you can start telling me your observations on it. Okay. Any thoughts on that? Let me start with one, and then you can share some of yours. I noticed we've got, it starts with the all. Starts with all, it ends with all. We've got an everyone in the middle there. It seems to be emphasizing this everybody, that it's not that I get to be the exception to that, or anybody with the exception to that, that God's very intent on saying here, every single person is involved in what happened here. All right, what other observations do you see? Bob?
My own way is an iniquity that somebody has to do something about.
Great way to say that. Yes.
And everybody, because we're all wandering sheep, my iniquity is something that somebody has to do something about. And God has done it.
Okay. So when you think about my own way, I love the way you said that. I mean, it's not that he says, oh, we turned and did something really terrible. He says, the thing you turned and did was you did it your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the thing brought up about how there needs to be a solution there. Ben.
Like how Isaiah gives me a perpetual illustration of the animal that seems perpetually used to doing something stupid. The professional goes off the cliff and everybody else does too. So I think it, even the sheep reference, basically comparing us to sheep. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, this concept of the turning, that we're like sheep that wandered off, turned this other direction.
Yeah.
Like, turned from the leader is the key. We didn't have a leader, now we can help.
Yes.
We have ourselves.
Yeah, good point, because we're going our way. Yeah.
The loneliness of Jesus, who had all this iniquity piled on him, and it was just off doing our own thing.
Yeah, that's me. I haven't. Yes. The loneliness of Jesus, yes. It's all on him. Was there a hand over here?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
It deals with multitude and with one.
Yeah.
So it's, and it's all laid on that. All of the things that people have turned to and done their own way is all laid on this, on the individual.
Yes. Good point. Yeah.
It sounds so much like Romans 3:22.
Yeah. And then it goes on to say that we are justified by the grace of the wind. So it almost says exactly the same.
involved
in, but he does know.
Yes, I was in that fun when we started to make those connections and see how similar these concepts are. Aaron and Jed.
This morning we were talking about inherited sin, that concept of Calvinism. This has like three points in it that talk about the individuality of our choices, leading to our own, you know, sin. All
yeah.
Own way. All.
Yes. Good point. Jed.
I noticed weird sentence structure that choices here that I wonder for me. All we like sheep is not how I would write that, to be clear. And we have turned dash everyone dash to his own way. And starting that clause off with, and the Lord has laid on him. So there's a lot like that is kind of a passive voice. Like it's not he took on or we laid on him or he took from us or some more direct way of saying that, just like all we like sheep. So I don't know what that means, but it probably means something.
Yeah, on that, that's a good point. And we're dealing with poetry here, and something you can look for when you're studying Old Testament poetry is the word order. You have a real literal translation that will try to preserve the word order, and there's sometimes patterns to it where a lot of times the second and third line will play off of the first line, repeating the same thought, sometimes reversing the order, or sometimes keeping the order. And you have this, sometimes you can see that, oh, okay, the first word is parallel with the first word in the second sentence, and that's why it's written in this backwards order, so that you get this parallel between this and this. And there's a lot more you can think about that. But yeah, the word order sometimes there is significance to it.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. You know, what he just said about understanding, when you look at the NIV is so much clearer, at least in my view, where if I looked at that, I'd be like, what does your version say? You know?
Yeah.
That's what we do. We don't just stick with one and move on and say, I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I look at multiple translations as helpful sometimes. Go ahead.
This verse has three important parties. You have man, you have God, you have Christ. We sin. God doesn't hold it against us. He lays it on an instant, pure party. And if that doesn't get to us, nothing.
Yes. Good point. All right, we're out of time, but let me go do at least one more here. Okay, Hebrews 4:14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. All right, let's take a minute to think about it. Okay. And.
I just threw out the word then. Second
yes.
Word. Yes. And I can understand it.
Yeah, okay, just get rid of that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, well, and all this is so much different. We actually see the context, which is a lot better if you look at it in context. The reason that we've got a then there is because building off of another thought, previous verse. Yeah.
I think that's actually a very important part of the verse because of the structure of it. Because this, therefore this, is what this is, the structure of this is saying. So then we can take the meaning and say, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, let us hold fast our confession. Now we have to kind of consider what the relationship of those two things really is.
Yes.
Let's
see. I think you're exactly right. because of this, that's why we do this. And then you got in the middle of the verse, this, really explaining the greatness of the high priest. You've got, we're introduced to the idea we have this great high priest, that's why we can hold on the confession, and in the middle you have, okay, and here's what makes it so great. Ron?
When we're just reading through the Bible, one thing that is really difficult to do is connect it to the verses. When you meditate, sometimes you put the Bible down, do it while you're driving the car. A lot of times, when we have empty time to meditate, we turn that into useful time. In this particular one here, this verse, and the verse we talked about just a few minutes ago, are connected.
Okay.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, well, who was the hint that was referred to in the previous? Jesus
absolutely.
Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives emphasis to who this person was. He's the one that took on our sins. He's our high priest.
Yes, great point. I did.
You know, back to the little high priest, you know, the top of the high priest, he's saying, you know, the whole high priest who has passed through the heavens, it's using high priest going back to comparing Jesus to the high priest of the Old Testament who passed into the Holy of Holies to make the sacrifice. Well, Jesus being our high priest, as well as the ultimate, both roles. Not only is he our high priest, he would be also the sacrifice. And passing into the heavens, instead of these regular sacrifices, he became the one sacrifice and whole.
Yes.
Bringing back to the old, and like Ron said, connecting the New and Old Testament.
Great summary there. Yes, in order to understand this, you've got to connect to other passages. And so when you see that word high priest, we need to say exactly what you said, which is we need to think back in our minds to Leviticus and books like that, and think through about how this concept of here you've got the high priest, he goes into the most holy place, he offers his sacrifice before God, they do it once a year, it atones for the sins of the people. That's the concept of the high priest. So as soon as we see the word high priest, we need to get that all in our mind. That comes from when we meditate on it. Then we can start making those other connections, like you just made. Jill?
You know the passage that talks about Jesus being our mediator? God and man. This is like, he was on earth, he suffered and died, and then he arose and went to heaven. So the fact that he was here, knows our weaknesses, and now he's gone to heaven and hears our prayers along to God, he can qualify, you might say, as our mediator or mentor.
Yes. Probably can't see that, but heaven and earth, exactly right. The path through the heavens, it connects with what Ben said here, that we've got this concept of a high priest who goes into God's presence. The Hebrew writer says, and look, just like that, Jesus passed through the heavens. He went into God's presence. And then connecting with what you said, you've got this concept of Jesus is perfectly qualified being both God and man here. And that, I think, is where you get this, why does he say Jesus, the Son of God? I think it's exactly what you're saying. He's trying to emphasize that concept. If I were reading through this, I'd probably read through it fast and just, oh, Jesus, the Son of God, of course. He's trying to establish two titles here. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, that earthly name that everybody called him here on earth, the Son of God, heavenly, he came from heaven. He's in both places, therefore he's a perfect go-between kind of high priest. Michael?
Works out ever since scripture filled our fish. There are certain things that may take place in our life to make us want to lose our profession. Hebrews speaks a great deal about affliction that chapter 11 of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith,
yes.
Affliction that believers went through, they held fast to their confession. They didn't give in to the temptation to stop confessing Christ as Lord and Savior. They held fast to their confession. Christ is up in heaven in the sea as I preach while we're there.
Great point. I think you're exactly right. That's where we get to this whole confession. Once we understand the greatness of the high priest, that's what motivates us to hold on to, like you said, hold on to our confession that we're not going to fall away. We're not going to lose that trust in him. All right, we better wrap it up here. Do we have any last comments here? Okay. This is what we're talking about when you just sit and you meditate and you think about it. These are the kinds of verses that I could read through really fast and I miss almost all of that. And then I'm not going to get the benefit. And then at the end of the day, I got my Bible reading done and I didn't get anything from it. Instead, if you're having trouble being motivated to keep reading your Bible each day like you're trying to do, maybe take a little bit slower and take some time to really think about, at least take, just find one concept in there that I can take this on. Here's a little jewel. Here's something I learned today. So here's what we're going to do. For the next 2 weeks, I'm not going to do a video these next 2 weeks. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go back to our devotionals like we did just for these 2 weeks. And what's going to be is we're going to read through the book of Malachi together as a church. So every day I'll email you just a few verses, a short book, so we'll just be doing a little paragraph each day. A paragraph, and then I'll bold one of the verses. You read the paragraph, and then the bold verse, let's all meditate on that one. And we'll just spend just a couple minutes, however long you want to spend on it, just thinking about the concepts in that verse, trying to pull out some nugget there, some jewel that you can, that's helpful for you. And then after we've all done that for 2 weeks, we'll have another lesson like this on a Sunday night, two weeks from tonight, where we'll study the book of Malachi, and we'll all have the jewels that we mined from it. And so we'll all be able to share them, and we'll be able to say, this is all the stuff we learned from meditating on Malachi. All right, so I'll be emailing that to you each morning for the next 2 weeks. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for all your thoughts and comments. If you are not a Christian, then the one thing God is really pointing to you towards is that relationship that you need to have with Christ. If you don't have that relationship yet, then we invite you this evening to come forward and give yourself to Christ tonight.